Tonight, what I thought I would do would be to present a few of the basic thoughts about mythology in general, what it is, what its functions are, what stages it has experienced in the course of history. In this, I will be repeating possibly some of the things I've said here in the past 15 years, but I'm not afraid to do that. I don't see many who will have been here 15 years ago. The best definition I know of mythology is other people's religion. If you will take the position suggested by standing on the moon and move over into someone else's religion and look at your own, you'll have a pretty good idea of what mythology is, what it does. Consider, for example, the great mythology of Europe, the Christian myth on which Europe has grown. It is the myth, basically, of the fall of man in the garden, the redemption of man in Christ's crucifixion, and the dispensation of the grace of that redemption by way of the sacraments of the church. That's the basic medieval Christian myth. And when you consider the arts, the philosophy, the sociology, the politics, any aspect of medieval life, it will be a function of that myth. Moreover, every detail of medieval living is simply an aspect of that great basic mythos of the fall, redemption, and the mission of the church. Now, that has met with considerable dislocation in recent years. The other great religion of our special environment here, the religion of the Hebrews, is also mythologically based. It is the religion based on the promise to Abraham and the law of Moses, the religion of the chosen people, who are God's special consideration, the covenant, and so forth. And the notion also that in their sufferings, which have been many, the Jews have been, in a way, disciplined by their concerned father, using the nations as his chastising whip. So when we read in the Bible of Nebuchadnezzar, who overthrew Jerusalem, he is regarded as the agent of God himself. Now, I don't like to speak about a religion that is and has never been my own, but I have been teaching young Jewish students. I'd say more than 50% of my students in the past 37 years have been of that faith, and I know that they are no less disturbed in their confidence in their own mythology than the Christians whom I've been teaching. The parents may not be disturbed, but I think it's clear that the young people, the children, are, no matter what the religious tradition from which they come. I've also taught Zoroastrians, Mohammedans, Buddhists, and Hindus, and they're all in a disturbed state as a consequence of these collisions.